Minnesota Reads on KUMD is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Joining us on the phone this morning is Thomas Chevery, and he has written a book entitled The Great Lakes at 10 Miles an Hour. Thomas, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
You know, there have been books and accounts written before by folks that circumnavigated either one Great Lake or all the Great Lakes. Maybe they walked. In one instance, they kayaked. We've heard, I know that there was a wonderful, I think it's a cookbook. It's a circle tour of the Great Lakes by car, but it's all of these wonderful restaurants where you stop all the way along. So I'm curious, in your mind, why are people so driven, ba-dum-bum-tsh, to circumnavigate the Great Lakes?
Well, I think because, you know, I'd say, they're there, but it is a little bit like a mountain, you know. It's like there's mystery along the way, and it's a challenge. And one of the things I think that's really interesting about the lakes is just the variation, you know, between them, between the, you know, the geographies of each of them. You know, you've got big cities like Detroit and Buffalo and Cleveland, and then you have stretches and, you know, northern Lake Superior, you know, east of Duluth, that are, you know, pretty much devoid of much human settlement. So you've got all this variety, and then you've always got these beautiful lakes you can look out at and, you know, appreciate just the wonders that they represent. And then there's so much history that the lakes, you know, encompass. You know, going back to the, you know, the original explorers, the French and the native people that lived there before that. So I just think the lakes have so many different aspects that are compelling. People can't resist.
Well, tell me, Thomas, and this is a question, of course, that Minnesotans ask. Are you from here?
No. I'm from, I grew up south of Buffalo, Jamestown, New York.
Okay,
I grew up near Lake Erie.
So you had a Great Lake. So it wasn't as though this was a whole unique concept to you.
No. It wasn't a whole unique concept. That's one of the reasons I was interested, you know, that I was familiar with Ontario, Ontario and Erie mostly. You know, where I grew up was near Lake Erie. When I was growing up, Lake Erie was kind of a cesspool. You know, a lot of raw sewage was dumped into it. You had, you know, Bethlehem Steel and other industrial, you know, polluting places, facilities. And so my concept of the Great Lakes was not particularly, you know, positive. But it, you know, they changed. They've really been transformed, especially in the east. You know, Ontario and Erie. So I was kind of interested in that transformation, too. Just, you know, I never really spent a lot of time on the Great Lakes growing up, but they were always near enough so that I thought that they were worth exploring.
What do you think that the choice of transportation, as someone embarks upon this adventure to, whether it's adventure or challenge, as you talk about, or mystery, or to get a deeper sense of the history. What do you think their choice of transportation says about them? You chose to make your trip, first of all, on a bicycle, and secondly, not necessarily to take, you know, 3 to 6 months off and do the whole thing in one swell swoop. Right. You decided to do it, you know, over a period of time. What do you think that the way and the time frame in which you work says about the person as they embark on this adventure?
Well, the time for me was probably set by my work obligations. I couldn't take off, you know, 3 to 6 months or what it would take to do it all at once. So that was sort of, you know, my constraint. If I'd had the luxury of doing that, maybe I would have done it that way. But, I can't speak for other people's choices. I think that however you do it, you know, however you start to explore or investigate the Great Lakes, whether it's by car or by motorcycle or by walking or by kayaking or by sailing or, you know, whatever. I think that there's many things that you can discover. And, you know, I guess the thing about bicycles is you sort of experience the, you know, the outside, the weather, you know, all these kinds of changes, and you get a lot of time to think about what it is you're seeing. But you don't get to, you know, since it takes a lot of time to get from one place to the other, you can't spend as much time in one specific place, I think, as you could if you went by a vehicle like a car or whatnot. So I do think that, you know, how you travel does shape your understanding of what you encounter, but I don't think one is better than the other. You know, I think there are just different experiences from different ways of doing it. You know, I'd love to walk around. I mean, somebody wrote a book about walking around Lake Superior. You know, that's just, I can't imagine that, but that would be a much different experience than I had, you know, along the shoreline the whole way. So I don't know. I just say whatever suits you, whatever you prefer, you know, go for it.
When you are in the midst of the experience, you know, there's got to be times when you're tired or hungry or the weather is cruddy or something. And then, of course, when you come back and you decide, I want to write a book about this, do you find yourself self-editing, you know, I don't know whether that makes a good story, the part where I just sat down and cried, or I want to make this sound like fun and adventure, not
absolutely. You know, because I've read a fair number of books about bicycling, you know, different bicycle touring of different kinds, and there's nothing worse than somebody that just complains all the time about, you know, how you know, hard it is on their bodies, or that the weather's bad, or you lonely or unhappy or whatever. Nobody really wants to read anything like that. So, you know, I include some things that are where it was challenging, you know, physically, and the weather and all that kind of stuff. But it's definitely not a book filled with complaints, you know, because I love doing it. You know, it wasn't like I had to edit out a lot. I you know, totally enjoyed the experience overall.
What did you have to take out? You know, when you, as you kind of alluded to, you can't perhaps include everything in a book. You need to make choices, and sometimes the choices about what you leave in and the choices about what you leave out are really telling. What are some of the things that you just said, no, this is ending up on the cutting room floor? First of all the complaining that ended up in the cutting room floor.
Well, you know, there's long stretches where not much happens. You know, like the North Shore of Lake Superior, it's beautiful, and the bicycling is really wonderful, but you don't meet a lot of people, you know, it isn't like a good story, I guess, in a way.
Got up, and I think bicycled, it was gorgeous. Day
right.
two, got
exactly.
up, bicycled, it was gorgeous.
Right, so I tend to, like, you know, take some of that out, and because I'm not really interested in just, you know, exploring my psyche or whatever and going into all that kind of stuff. So I do look for encounters that I have with people, or when I go, you know, when I finished each of the tours, I would go back and read about the places that I'd been to, and then I'd find, you know, things that I thought were especially interesting about them, or stories that other people had told about those places, and then I would include that stuff. So I kind of tried to leave out the stuff that wasn't very interesting, and I tried to include the stuff that was. That's my basic principle, I guess, is to try to keep it interesting.
That's really not, for an author, that's really kind of an excellent premise. Leave out the dull stuff and just include the good stuff. I think you're onto something there. It sounds as though, in many ways, your motivation for undertaking this trip or these trips was really outer-focused.
Yeah.
I want to look out. I want to see new things. I want to
exactly.
be challenged and meet people and this sort of thing. When you came home and started to pull together your notes to prepare the book, did you discover, perhaps, that accidentally you had undergone some kind of sea change as a person, lake change as a person?
Yeah, but it wasn't like I felt like, you know, individually I had, like, you know, become a different person. It's just my ideas about the world, about North America, about American history, you know, Canadian history, just about the importance of these, you know, this geological feature, which is totally unique. I guess just my appreciation of the world that was somewhat near to me, you know, expanded, you know, exponentially. And that's a personal transformation. I think of that as a personal transformation.
Oh, absolutely. But it's the kind of thing that happened without you necessarily spending a lot of time navel-gazing to get there.
Exactly. Yeah, I wasn't, you know, I didn't go on the trip in order to, you know, it wasn't the result of, like, a trauma or you know, some deep-seated psychological disturbance that I had. It was really, as you said, it was like, you know, my interests were exploring the world and finding new things. And when you do that, I do think this is true of any kind of travel, actually, that's the transformation, right, that you become part of the world in a way that you weren't before.
Thomas, thank you so much for taking some time to join us this morning. It was great to talk with you.
Great to talk to you. Thanks a lot, Lisa.
Thomas Chevrey, our guest this morning on Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads on KUMD is supported in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.